Hi everyone, welcome to Shattering the Silence podcast, a space where we reveal the untold stories of athletes and explore the often hidden mental health challenges within the world of sports. I'm your host, Audrey Tamborello, a former collegiate athlete and now senior journalism student at Boston University. Today, I'm honored to be joined by our guest, Micah Rolfsema, a former first-team All-American soccer player at Rice University and now a professional football player at OB in Aalborg, Denmark. Together, we'll dive into Micah's journey navigating the complexities of mental health during challenges such as transferring, injuries, and more. Without further ado, welcome, Micah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
I'm also very excited. Obviously, I can't wait to dive into your story. And so to get started, can you share a little bit more about your journey with mental health in your athletic career?
Yeah, I think if I look back on everything, I've had a lot of ups and downs. A lot of really great moments and not so good. And I think with that, definitely mental health issues of like depression, struggling with injury, as you said, and transferring and like having a coach that basically wanted me to leave my team. And so I think I definitely have had a hard time and a lack of support in that area. And I think as a psychology student, I really am aware of how important all of that is.
Yep.
So sometimes it was just really difficult knowing that I should get more help, but not really knowing how to get that or not really having the resources.
Okay, yes, totally. So you started at Boston College and that's when you had the new coach that wanted you to transfer. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that and how that affected your mental health?
Yeah, so I went to the US, I think, when I was 19 from Holland. And I think that in itself was quite challenging. I think it was very scary. I was very nervous and my English was not great. And so that transition, I think even with that, there is not a lot of support because people are so focused when you get there on the school, on the academic and the football part, that they forget that it's a really hard transition and sometimes very isolating. I think when you don't speak the language well, it means you can't be yourself. Like that's a weird thing to say, but I literally felt like I couldn't be myself. And that felt very lonely. So I think the first year especially, I felt very depressed. And with that, I felt like I couldn't really perform either. And I was really getting used to like different playing style and just like spending so much time in school because it was so hard because I just wouldn't know what people were saying.
Yep.
Literally.
Yep.
I think I didn't speak for the first 2 months. And so, yeah, I think the loneliness was really hard. And I, at that point, there weren't people from my staff that really tried and make sure that I was adjusting well or checking in as much as I think is actually necessary. And I think what happens is that they just judge your behavior and your performance on the field, but no one really looks into what is the backstory of why things aren't going well, or why is your confidence low, or why is it hard to communicate? And so I was struggling with that a lot. I think I reached out at Boston College to like the psychology department.
Yep.
And so I had a couple conversations with like a psychologist there, but because it was so related to sport as well, they just couldn't really help me in the way that I needed. And I mean, after some time I adjusted because you just get through it, basically.
Yep.
You just get through it. And it started going like really well. And then after a while we had a coaching change and I thought that would be fine. And I was very excited about it until it wasn't so exciting. And my coach basically called me in and he was like, I think I want you to transfer. And I think I was so confused. I didn't really fully understand why. I think that's the hard thing in, especially in college sports, where coaches just have a lot of power.
Yes.
And you can't really do anything about it. Because you can't go above the coach.
Was there a reasoning that he gave you for why he wanted you to transfer?
So I think his reasoning wasn't, he was just giving reasons that I don't think were really accurate, that I wasn't motivated enough, which I think I was probably more motivated than most of my teammates. I think it had to do with scholarship money, which they won't say, but I think that is always like the political situation.
Yep.
With coaches. And I mean, that's just really hard because you can't go to anyone about that. And so what I was like, I don't want to transfer. I finally, after 2 years, feel comfortable here. I feel like I finally build up a life. I feel like I'm finally performing well. And he basically was like, well, I will never put you on the field. You won't be a part of this team. He basically told my whole team that I was going to transfer without me wanting that. So it got to a point where going to practice just felt like an unsafe environment. And I think it was really hard to deal with that situation when you finally build a whole life and you have friends and you feel supported, to basically lose it all within a couple weeks. And that's kind of how it went. And eventually I think I made the decision. I was like, okay, I'm gonna really, really passionately dislike the next 2 years here if I'm gonna stay. Like, he's gonna make my life a hell and I will not be able to just enjoy playing. And I think just how much power he had, like one single person had over like how you feel is crazy. And there was just some of his text messages were just so rude, where like, of course your confidence and like you start doubting yourself. You just, I really struggled with all of that. And I think no one else really was going through any of that at that point. So that felt very lonely as well, because all of my teammates were just part of the team. Like, they weren't in that situation.
Were any of your teammates like there for you at this time?
Yeah. I had a couple close friends. It was just hard because my closest friend, she basically finally got the opportunity to play. So she was usually not starting, and I was. And so she took my position.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a really difficult situation because she finally had what she wanted, but it was instead of me. So it was really hard to like for her to balance that as well. And I felt bad talking to her about it.
How did that affect your guys' like friendship?
It did a lot.
Okay.
I think we really grew apart in that period. And it was mainly because of him. He kind of used, like, because she didn't really play my position before he came. So it kind of seemed like he used that to get me out. Yeah, it felt very personal for some reason. So then eventually I started looking at other schools. And I think I had decided that if I was going to transfer, I wanted to go to, like, I basically wanted to just show him that I was good enough and that he was wrong. So it gave a lot of motivation at the same time. And so then I found Rice and I transferred. And to this day, it's the best decision that anyone could have made for me. So him pushing me out was honestly the best thing ever.
I mean, obviously such an unfortunate experience to have that first college experience. I mean, coming here as an international student. But I mean, I tell people this all the time. I'm like, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
And you might not like believe it in the moment, and like obviously such a negative experience that you did have, it's like, how can you even think of the positive? But yeah. Then the transfer was a great move for you. And so kind of going into your Rice experience, you had a very successful journey at Rice. Were awarded 19 awards, such as like USA Defender of the Year, as well as like you were a Herman Trophy national semifinalist. And I was kind of just wondering, what was your mindset that you had, like, between switching, between the two schools, and how did you feel about like the change in environment?
Yeah, I think in the beginning, I was really scared what was going to happen. It's a lot of unknown, of course.
Yep.
But I think in general, coming to the US and like being able to build a life away from home already gave a lot of confidence. So I knew I could like kind of do it again. And I felt very at home at Rice, like when I first visited the school. It's just, it's such a, such an amazing place. And I really felt supported from the beginning by the coach there, like
awesome.
Very, very supported. And I think that gave me a lot of confidence going in, and then the team was very supporting. I think that was the difference too at Boston College. Like the team was just not very inclusive, not very supporting. And so no one was checking in ever. Like no one was welcoming you. No one was making sure, like, are you okay? And there was like a really strong hierarchy.
Okay.
And I think at Rice, that was not the case. And I was older, it was easier coming in when you're older. But my mindset was really that of, okay, this has happened, I can't do anything about it. The only thing I can do is see this as an opportunity and learn as much from it as I can. I didn't want like my coach to have that impact or that influence over me. And so I kind of was like, okay, I'm gonna see this as an opportunity and grow from it as much as I can and like do everything I can to make this a successful experience. And unfortunately that really happened. But I think it is also, I think it's always interesting going, having two college experiences and being able to compare them. And I think the support and the inclusion and the welcoming environment of Rice made me have the successful performance and experiences that I had.
That's awesome. When you were at Boston College, you said that you had seen a therapist, but just like through like a general therapist, correct? Not like a sports psychologist?
No, it was through the school, like the...
Okay, just like generally. Okay. So then obviously being that they weren't like specialized in sports, that made it hard, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Okay, so then going to Rice, did you carry over that therapist, or like did you try to find like a new support system there? Like what did you do for your mental health, at least like right off the bat? Because obviously you're still dealing with a big transition, just had a very, very negative experience, and what? So like what was your support system for that, like when you moved over to Rice?
I just kind of let it happen at first, but I think really early on I was really lucky with the teammates and the friends that I made.
Awesome.
And so I didn't really felt like I needed like an outside therapist as much, because I feel like the people there already understood like kind of what I went through, because they went through a coaching change and stuff. So I felt very at home in the beginning. So I didn't really feel like I needed that as much. I think the difference was as well for Boston College, the way, because it's the ACC, so it's like a really hard conference to be in.
Yep.
And I think the way that we trained in general was just low-key quite abusive.
In what way?
In the way of, you're basically exerting your body to the point that like you're just not okay, you know?
Yep.
You're like running and throwing up constantly, you're coughing up blood after runs, you like I have people faint, like to the point that so many people were burned out, and it just, and like you would still get yelled at. I think that was the interesting difference as well with Rice, where like you should be listening to your body, you should be able to get like enough sleep and like take care of yourself, because that has such a big impact on your mental health. And that was just not the case there at all. It's basically just don't listen to your body and do whatever we tell you until you break down. And I think at Rice, I really started to enjoy just playing football again.
Like you just
and
had
that
fun.
Helped so much with just like with my mental health, just enjoying the game and being with your teammates and just having fun.
That's awesome. I mean, when I was at DePaul University, I kind of feel like the transition, I mean, obviously from high school to college, I feel like I completely lost just like the fun in the sport. It was like,
right?
You're playing, like, have fun. But it's like, how can you go out there and have fun when it's like you have no support around you? You were dealing with like being an international student and like the language barrier. So it's like just that much harder on you. And like you said, like you didn't talk for 2 months. So that's also going to play into like who you can meet and like the relationship building aspects. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad. I'm so, so glad that you were able to find the fun in soccer again. And I'm glad that Rice was there for you and like your teammates and coaches, and you could have like that opposite experience. Obviously, you had a bunch of awards at Rice University. How did that impact your confidence and motivation for like the rest of your like collegiate experience and then eventually going into your professional experience?
Yeah, I think it was quite interesting. I didn't really know how to handle it in the beginning because, like, in Holland, we don't really do awards. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I do think it did put a lot of pressure on me to perform, right, and to do well always. And I think there was just such a high standard for me, higher than for other people. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that was hard. And I struggled with that, where I think at some point it was just like way too much. And I do think that also, like, there were moments, and even at Rice, there were moments where I was like, okay, my coach would tell me, even if you get injured, you will play. And I'm like, okay.
Whoa.
That, I don't know how to feel about that.
Interesting.
That's not great.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, obviously not healthy on your body whatsoever. Also No. Not healthy with your mental health.
No.
So then, I mean, okay, so you were saying like you had increased pressure internally, or was it like your coaches were putting more pressure on you?
I think it was definitely, I felt that for myself. I think for my teammates a bit, they just like, I think there was less room for me to mess up, if that makes sense. Like if I were to like mess up,
yep,
I would, like, people would be mad more so than to other people. So, yeah, I think sometimes, like, when so many people have those expectations, it's just, like, how do you deal with it? But I also really enjoyed it, like, with the pressure. Like, that's kind of, like, what you want, right? You want some of the pressure. It's just finding that balance. And I think in college, I mean, I think a lot of people experience that. It's just so much.
It is.
So, like, to have a good balance is so difficult.
Yep.
And I think what happened is that, I think in sports in general, you're just not really taught to listen to your body. Or, like, to listen to yourself. What do you need? Like, how do you feel? Like, no one asked you those questions. And so you kind of forget about that yourself. Like, how am I supposed to take care of myself? How am I supposed to, like, feel about things? And so I think with all of that, it all kind of was too much, and I wasn't taking care of myself the way I was supposed to. And I was just trying to do well for everyone else. And I think that eventually led to me tearing my ACL.
So that was in your fifth year that you tore your, you had COVID. I mean, you went through COVID, so you had that fifth year. So then was it your, well, no, was it that season, or was it like preseason, or like right after season?
I was in the middle, near the end of my like last season. So I had 2 months before I graduated.
Okay. 2 months before you graduated, you were also thinking about going into the draft here in America.
Right.
And like your coach had told you that you had a good chance of doing so. Right before this, you tear your ACL and meniscus. So how did that play a part into your journey going like down the professional route, and then also just like your headspace in that moment?
Yeah, I think it was really difficult. I'd never had a big injury. And so I didn't know how to deal with it. I actually didn't know how to deal with it. And I think going from like having an important role on a team and like that to not being able to walk is such, it's such a shock. I don't think I could fully understand. I think with COVID as well, my parents couldn't come to the US to like have that support. And all I wanted was like my family to be there. And so I had my surgery right before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And I like couldn't really leave because I couldn't fly and I couldn't really go home with most of my friends who live like further away. And so I was basically alone during Thanksgiving with like right out of surgery. And that was one of the loneliest times. And I think what happened mentally especially is that I couldn't accept that I had torn my ACL and that it would have such a big impact, because it's like so many months of recovery and like my future plan kinda just gone. So I couldn't accept that. So I was very stubborn. That is basically what that did to me. And so I had a really hard time like with the recovery because I didn't really trust the physios.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of trust issues. And that was because, I mean, the physios were doing the wrong thing a lot of the times. Plus, my doctor was just awful.
Why was the doctor awful?
He kept blaming me and saying that I was not putting in enough work because my leg wouldn't like straighten all the way. Like I couldn't have my full extension for the longest time. It honestly probably took me 2 years to get a full extension and be able to walk normal.
Wow.
Yeah. And he just kept telling me like, you have to work harder. And I was just, I don't know. It's a lot going through that already. And then you're like, I'm just trying to be mentally okay. I'm sorry.
You're like, I'm already working as hard as I possibly can. Like there's nothing more that I can do. That is so frustrating. Every ACL tear is different. I know one of my friends, like when she tore her ACL, it took her about a year to recover. Like you were saying, it took you about 2 years. Is there like a reason that it took you a little bit longer?
I think the surgery kind of went wrong. And so my meniscus never healed. So I had to get another meniscus surgery eventually. And I think my physios actually made a couple wrong decisions where my physio had never worked with someone who had torn their ACL, so they really just didn't know what they were doing, and so it basically made it worse. And then I luckily got another semester at Rice to like recover there, and then I kind of had to make a decision like, okay, what am I gonna do now? And so I had an offer to play in Cyprus, and they were okay with me not being fully recovered. So I've recovered a bit in America, then in Holland, then in Cyprus. All of those standards are so different. Like every physio is saying completely different things. And so I think I just wasn't trusting anyone anymore.
Fair.
And I think with that, I just really wish that I had more psychological help, because it was just very frustrating. And like when you don't know who to trust anymore, but you don't know what the right thing to do is, and that is basically all you can focus on all day because it's just impacting your everyday life, not being able to walk. It was really challenging.
I'm so sorry that like you had to go through that. I was kind of wondering, so like, okay, so mind you, so you're gonna go, like your plan was to go into the draft here in the US. You like tore your ACL right before this. You're out for 2 years. Did that like, did your like draft spot go like away practically at that point because you had been injured, or like was there even like a chance to ever come back to like the US to play? Did that ever also impact like you playing on like a national team?
Right. I do think that my career could have gone a really different direction if I hadn't torn it, because I think I was like on a really good like way up.
Yep.
But you never know. Looking back, I'm really happy that I tore my ACL. I think it brought me a lot of opportunities, and I think with what happened at Boston College with my coach, I think I was able to adopt a similar mindset where it's like, okay, this has happened. What can I do? How can I learn from this? And how can I grow from it? So that was one of my, that was also one of my first thought processes of like, okay, I want to grow from this experience. And I think I have. I think sometimes as a player, when you go through a big injury, mm-hmm. it's like, you really, like you almost need to go through it once and like, just understand how grateful to be able to play and to really be intrinsically motivated, because you have to do all the work that you don't want to do day in, day out to get back. And so I think I have been since then more motivated than ever to like play and work hard and do all the things that I don't want to do and challenge myself. So I think for like my mental health and my mindset, like it has helped so much. I think with the draft, I realized that I wasn't really thinking, why do I want to go into the draft? I was just like, that sounds cool.
Yep.
And when I realized that that is actually not what I wanted, I don't know if I always enjoy the American way of playing football. I think the European way is way more playing.
What is the difference between like obviously like the American way versus like the European way?
I think in America, in college especially, like people are athletes. Like they are super fit. Like you focus a lot more on like running and like being strong, and it's more of a direct style of playing. I think in Europe it's very technical and tactical. Mm-hmm. And I just love that part. I just really enjoy that. And I think what I realized as well is that I don't really think I want to live in US. There's just certain things about the culture that I had a hard time with.
What about the culture did you have like a hard time adjusting to or not enjoy?
I think especially in Holland, I think people are very open and direct and you just say it how it is more so. And it's a lot more laid back. I feel like what I noticed in America is it's just like everyone is just always focused on achievements, always focused on success, on money, on grades, on, I don't know, just like even when you go out for dinner, right? It's like in Holland, we would eat for like 5 hours. In America, you would go for an hour.
Yep.
And that's a long time. Like I just enjoy just like enjoying life.
Totally. I feel like when like my sister Maddie came to visit you, and like she was explaining how like you guys like backpacked through like the Netherlands, and like you would stop at, I think it was bars or like restaurants, and like you would play cards for hours. And I'm like, yeah, like thinking here, like no one's playing, like not no one, but like a lot of people are not playing cards at like a restaurant. It's like you're in and you're out. It's like, it's almost like everyone right here feels like they're in like a rush, whereas like I feel like how Maddie yes. described like the Netherlands and like your home, it was just more like you just have to enjoy it, because like we're here over here like pressing like wanting right. like the biggest achievement, wanting all the best grades, like wanting to be the top of the top, whereas like, and then it's like we miss like these like smaller moments that I feel like you guys enjoy the smaller moments. And
right.
I'm obviously assuming that carries into even like football. Like you're just like.
It does. So I think then being able to go to Cyprus and having that opportunity, it was exactly what I needed. Because Cyprus is basically a tropical island.
Yep.
And it's beautiful and really relaxing. Like no one comes on time. Everyone, like compared to Holland, it's so much more relaxing. And I think after the crazy like college years, I really just needed that. And it was the first time that because I was injured, right? I couldn't really do much other than like work out and get better that way. And so I had so much time to work on myself and to read and listen to podcasts and like journal and meditate and just really like for the first time ever have have time to work on my mental health as well.
That's awesome.
And just find a peace, I guess, yep. that I didn't have in college. And so I very much realized how important that was, which there wasn't time or space for in like college mm-hmm. basically.
Yep.
In that environment. And how much that helped me just feel, honestly, like I think it was the best I've ever felt.
That's
like
that's
mentally.
Do you think that helped your like performance?
I think it definitely changed even now the way I play
yep.
and perform now that I can play again. And just to know how to take care of my body and mind. And I think it's through my injury that I basically learned that. I think, yeah, it really makes a difference. Like just how you experience life. It's insane.
Now do you meditate and like journal still and continue that in your everyday life?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I mean, that's awesome. I feel like that's kind of something that I found post college sport environment as well, as like when I got here to Boston University, I was like, oh, like I really need an outlet for my mental health. And it was like, yes, I was seeing a therapist, but I was like, the times that I'm not seeing a therapist, like I still feel like, again, like mind you, I graduated in COVID, I came, like I just felt lost without a sport. So I was like, what am I doing? And that's kind of when I found like journaling and yoga and stuff like that, and I was like, it helps right. so much. But it's like when you're in the midst of it, it's like you're not really thinking of, it's so crazy that that's like kind of your last thought on your mind. It's like, where am right. I gonna, like, it's like you're already doing everything, like I said, like trying to maintain like an academic, social, athletic life. And then how do you balance that on top of then also trying to prioritize your like mental health?
Right. Like I think mental health, it wasn't even talked about. Like it wasn't.
Yeah. So I.
That was.
Yes, I'm totally like the same way. And I feel like, I mean, like I've talked to a bunch of athletes kind of through this experience so far. And one of the athletes that I recently talked to, she was like, it's not optional in college to see an like athletic trainer. So she's like, why is it optional to see a sports psychologist? And she's yeah. like, I think there should be some type of change where it's like a sports psychologist during your season is like mandatory, because like yeah, like you get injured and you normalize the whole like going to get help after you're injured and like that's taken care of, but like I mean, like again, like you hear a lot of the time where it's like, I mean, I heard this a lot with softball, is it's like it's 90% mental and like 10% physical.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's
exactly.
like, how is it 90% mental in a ton
not
of
doing anything about
it. Yeah. And so, like, that's kind of where it's, like, why doesn't that sports psychologist become a mandatory thing? Because, I mean, a lot of programs, they have resources, but it's, like, they don't utilize the resources. They're just, like, not, like, even, like, at, like, BC, like, you had resources, but they also weren't directed towards athletes. So when you go to get help, if you have a bad experience, first, it's going to push you away from going back to a therapist because, like, they don't have the knowledge that you need. And like it's also just not helping you. Like it like might help you a little bit, but it like I feel like a sports psychologist like that is specifically knowledgeable within the realm of athletics like could truly help you a lot more.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, no, for sure. I think especially with injuries, or I mean, I know a lot of girls had eating disorders.
Yep,
like that is a really prevalent. Mental health issue, and it wasn't talked about, and there wasn't help for that. And those are, I think, really like important things to get help with.
Yep.
No, I absolutely agree. I think I always found it very strange how sometimes there wasn't even an option, or there was one sports psychologist for the whole athletics department, and it was impossible to actually talk to them.
Like book a time, like see them, yeah.
Right. No, I think what I've been interested in now is that, like, I think coaches are just so focused and trained on, like, the sports side. And I think if coaches could implement way more and be educated more on the psychological part, that could improve like the overall experience so much. And we had some talks about certain things like that were important, like racism or homophobia, with our team. But I think coaches could play such a bigger role, and like they just need to be more educated on these things. And then next to that, there need to be sports psychologists, right?
Yep.
That everyone can go to. But I think what you notice is that it's still kind of taboo. I think what we're taught in sports is to always like push through things and like, well, it needs to hurt. And like, basically don't listen to your emotions. Like, don't be weak. Don't be too emotional, especially for women. And so I think with that, it's almost like sports psychologists are just, you're not supposed to do that, because you just need to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like if universities were to implement a sports psychologist for however many teams there were at a university, like, we, like, I know for, like, my personal experience at DePaul, it was, like, each team, or, like, each, every two teams had, like, their own athletic trainer.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was awesome. But I'm like, if universities could normalize sports psychologists and like make it a requirement for athletes, that kind of normalizes the stigma surrounding getting help for mental health, which then I think kind of helps end that stigma, or at least slow it down and just improves the overall athlete experience. But I feel like until that change is made, like the experience is still going to be to somewhat extent like very competitive, very like overbearing, I guess, like in other words, like like too much.
I think in sport, it's interesting. I think sport is one of the only environments in which like low-key physical and mental abuse are tolerated.
Yes.
Right? Like yelling at you or like pushing you beyond things you want to do sometimes. And that's not okay or talked about either.
Yeah.
It's so normalized in sports. I think what you notice is that a lot of people had a lot of problems with that. And I've honestly talked to a lot of players that were like, if I were to write down my experiences of what I've like went through, like people just wouldn't
like believe you, because they're
wouldn't believe you.
Yes. I feel like when I came out and I started telling people like the experience that I had, they were like, are you sure that's what happened? I'm like, yes, that's what happened. Like, this is what I lived through. Like, and like some people are like that, like, no. And I'm like, no, really, like behind like everything. Yeah. Behind closed doors, it gets like extremely messy when you're on that, like when you're at the higher level, and obviously like, can create a very unsafe environment, which is like very scary. And I guess it's a like byproduct of like the American culture, again, trying to create these amazing athletes and be the best one, and like obviously money comes with it, but it's like when it's not healthy anymore, like what's the point? And I guess, okay, so then like between the countries, what have you noticed is like the difference with like mental like health like support systems, or like have you noticed a difference at all?
I think the problem, what I notice a lot, especially in women's football, so with professional football, is money. And so I think I got lucky in Denmark now that we have a mental coach. And it's honestly been amazing having that support. And it's the first time that I've had like a sports psychologist
to talk to. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really great. And I think it has helped me a lot to just like build confidence and like work on things. And I think like that's the thing as well. Everyone can benefit from a sports psychologist. Everyone can benefit from a psychologist in general.
Yep.
Right? Like it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm depressed or I'm underperforming, so I need to go see someone. I think literally everyone can get better at so many things, or dealing or handling situations. Because like, with sports, there are challenging situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was like what you were even saying. It was like, I mean, like at Rice, like you were winning all these awards, and yet you feeling the pressure, and like your mental health is still kind of like, it's there. Like it's always present.
Right.
So it's
right. And when things are going well, how do you handle that? Because then you can lose it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how it went. It was like, okay, well, I'm doing really well, but now there's all these expectations. And now I can't mess up. Like, I need to... And that, like, how do you deal with that? I think that's sometimes even harder.
Yeah, which is interesting. Obviously not talked about much, like, as much. Like, I feel like you hear a lot of, like, the negative experiences. But even on the, like, the positive side, there's still stuff that is challenging and hard to overcome. Looking forward, like, what advice would you give to athletes who are going into college sports or even, like, professional sports?
Yeah. I think multiple things, and I think it's really important to try and build an emotional support system from the people around you. I think that is one of the most important things. And with that, I think what I've learned is the more vulnerable you are and open, the easier you create those deeper connections in which people are also willing to share, and you feel safe and comfortable. And so I think I was able to build a lot of really special connections by being so vulnerable. And I just wish that everyone, like, would feel comfortable enough to do that, because it's amazing. I honestly don't think without those people I would have been okay.
Yep.
Because they were eventually the most important. I think the other thing is to really try and listen more to yourself, and, like, take the time to sometimes just, like, almost just take a break and think of, like, okay, how do I feel? What do I need? Like, am I taking good enough care of myself? Because I think I've been reading a lot about these things, and, like, for example, sleep. Like, it is so important for your mental health. It's insane.
Yep.
And no one talks about this. No one knows. I mean, I read a book on sleep, but I'm like, wow, why has no one told me this?
Yep.
Especially as an athlete. And we would have 6 a.m. practices. Like, it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
For your mental health, that's awful.
Yeah.
So, like, the things with, like, it's such basic things, but I think really listening to your body, even though coaches are pushing you or telling you, like, if you do that, that helps so much in being okay mentally. And so I think that was the biggest lesson I've learned through my injury and through, like, having finally that time to myself that I did college over, that I wish that I had taken that time for myself sometimes to really take care of what I needed or how I felt.
That's such good advice. I mean, like, I feel like even in, like, the short span that I kind of had, I kind of wish, I mean, as much as I don't want to say, like, I was lucky to get injured, I feel like that was kind of my time where I took a step back and I was like, what do I need? And that kind of gave me a free thought of, like, no, maybe it's good if I transfer right now and maybe go down a different path. Like, I think that would be best for myself right now. But it's like, I mean, like, obviously not everyone gets injured, or, like, not everyone has that time, but I think, like, somehow, some way, like, finding that time, like, even if it's on, like, I would say the weekends, that one's when we all compete, but, like, just, I mean, somewhere, like, in between classes, or just, like, I feel like it's so hard to take a step back and find that balance, but it, like, is such a big requirement.
Yeah, and I don't think I realized it, how much it was necessary until I did it.
Yep.
You know, until I actually took that time and took care of myself. And I was like, I have mentally never felt better. I've never enjoyed, like, things as much. Like, why didn't I just take care of myself better?
That's amazing.
Because I you just feel better. It's crazy.
Yeah,
you
you enjoy all the small things. You enjoy what you're doing. It's like,
right.
You just feel happier as a person.
Right. Yeah. And it makes you perform better too. Yeah.
And, like, honestly, like, I mean, like, you're a perfect example. Like, you can still be doing your sport and, like, having fun, enjoying it, especially at, like the highest level. Just, it does take the like mental capacity to find like the mental break that you need. As like we conclude, like Micah, I just want to thank you for opening up about your journey and being so vulnerable. Obviously, like, you're so amazing. And thank you so much for coming on here and again, just opening up.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. This is such an important topic that honestly, I just love this like topic and talk about it. Because it's so important and people honestly don't open up about it enough. So thank you for like talking about this, honestly.
Yes, of course. I'm so, so happy to be doing this and obviously to be creating a website just to help like athletes get their story out there that have never been told, but then also to help future athletes currently. And even athletes that have already like from the past, like I feel like listening to voices even now can help. So as a reminder for the audience, if you are an athlete you know is struggling with a mental health challenge, help is within reach, and it's okay to not be okay. Feel free to explore additional resources and inspiring stories on my website. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes as we will be continuing to explore the intersection of mental health and sports in the hopes of shattering the silence.